Generally, how's business conditions here at the present?
I suppose business conditions, we're mainly agricultural tractor dealers. We don't do much in machinery, but the tractor business would be on a par with last year, I would say. It's a small market, about 1,600 units in Ireland per year, where we came from a market of 4,000 euros units. So that's putting a bit of pressure on. I suppose the dairy man, we have three enterprises. We have dairy, beef and tillage. The dairy man is having a good ride at the moment. He's up there maybe 33, 34 cent a litre. The tillage man is way down. He's back down maybe 140 euros a tonne for his grain, and getting it difficult with the weather now. We've had 3 weeks of continuous rain, and so we'd have a good bit of grain to be harvested yet, and a lot of straw on the ground to be saved as well, you know. So that's putting a bit of pressure on those people. So the farming in Ireland, I suppose, today is, there's a big passion for farming, and the farmers don't run it as a business as such. They run it as a passion,
as a lifestyle.
You know, if you took the value of a farmer, his rate per hour, he's probably working on about 5 euros per hour for the hours he works in Ireland to the return he gets. But it's the love of the land, and it's the love of what he does that keeps him going, you know.
Now, the brand new Holland is one of the best selling in Ireland. Is that correct?
Yes, so it'll have New Holland, John Deere, and Massey Ferguson. They would be the top three. Yeah. So they'll alternate maybe year on or year out with saying New Holland will be top seller 1 year, John Deere the next. Massey hasn't been for a while now, but Massey is coming good again. But the between New Holland and John Deere has been for the last good few years.
Up to 2013, sales in the U.S. tractors and everything were sky high.
Yes.
Then it fell out. And then the dealers had the big issue with too much used equipment.
Yes.
And it's taken them at least 3 years to get it somewhat manageable.
Yeah.
Did you go through that?
We would have went through that, but that's a long time ago now. That could be 15 years ago that happened here when we were under 4,000. Well, I wouldn't know, maybe 10 years. But we run 4,000 tractors, and we dropped it 1,900 tractors in 1 year. 2009, 2008, 2009, that's when we had the very same situation where people had to go and liquidate their stuff. And that really, 2009 was probably the most difficult year in the tractor business that I ever had.
Have you been in the business for?
Since 1982. Yeah. 1982, but we do an awful lot of hire. Hire is our big business, tractor hire.
What's that mean?
Rental. We rent out tractors. Yeah. We rent them to Dublin Airport, for example. They take 40 tractors off us every winter for 40.
Wow.
For snow clearance. Then they come back from the Dublin Airport, and we rent them to Bord na Mon, which is a peat producing company. They produce the peat on the bog, and it's burnt then in some of the power stations here. Some of it is then to use for horticulture. It goes off to Holland and these places. And it's a big business in the Midlands. Peat is a big business, yeah. A lot of our land in the surrounding area here would be all bogland, peatland.
Are you located near here?
Just 2 miles in the road, Tullamore, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of dealers exhibiting at shows like this.
No. I suppose we would have a long association with the National Ploughing. Going back to, I used to plough myself one time, and 5 years ago, that was 4 years ago, and 5 years ago, they decided New Holland always put a stand in the show. So the New Holland always put it. So New Holland decided then they weren't coming to the show anymore. So we said then, being the local dealer, we'll go. So we've been here ever since, 5 years.
Well, I was out here earlier this morning. I didn't see you, but
yes,
your guys out there never stop.
No.
Busy
all the time.
That's
a good sign. That is a good sign. This would be a big show for us now, because we get to show our ex-hire tractors. I mean, our season starts now, because we have the old tractors coming back in, the year-old tractors coming back into us, and now the new tractors are going out.
I see.
So they'll be going back into the airport for the 6 months, and from the 1st of November. So that's where we're in. That's why we have a big turnover now this time of the year.
So what horsepower tractor do they use at the airport?
We put in kind of 140 to 200 horsepower.
Okay.
They use them to put snow plows on and some brushes, some bigger hydraulically driven brushes.
I see.
It's mainly for cleaning cleaning, clearing the taxiways than to have their own big machines then for doing the runways. So we did, they just sit there for the winter. If there's no snow, they don't move.
So they don't put a lot of hours on them.
Maybe 10.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe
that's 10. Good for you.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, no, it's
so
good.
So what are there any particular issues that dealers are dealing with these days that are particularly difficult?
The biggest problem every dealer has is the margin he's taken out of the product. Mm. I mean, the national average is 6%, which is not sustainable.
Just for tractors?
Just for tractors and machinery in general.
Okay.
And it's not possible to sustain a business on 6%. Mm-hmm. So we have, really, this country has too many dealers. That's the big problem, as I see. There's too many dealers for amount of business that's been done, mm-hmm. and everybody wants a little slice of the pie. You know, if you have a pie and you cut it up in 100 or you cut it up in 50,
right.
There's different sized portions.
Right.
So the portions are too small, so there's too many looking for the slice of the pie.
Well, how many dealers are in Ireland in total, all brands?
We say New Holland would have 26.
26?
Mm. There's probably, I'd say, for a tractor franchise alone, you're probably looking maybe 150. And then you have 1,500 tractors.
Yeah.
So, you know, so like it's, and you take the big, you take John Deere, New Holland, and Massey Ferguson out of that, then that's the bulk of them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you really need to be selling, you know, to employ a salesman now, it costs you about 80,000 a year to put them on the road and to put a car and his telephone and everything else. You know, so that is the big problem.
Yeah.
So that's where we see it.
So are they consolidating? How many stores do you have?
One.
Are dealers consolidating?
Well, you see, there's no John Deere now. John Deere have the system that you have to have a certain turnover, or they don't want to deal with you on an individual basis. So with that, that have brought out big changes in the John Deere end of things, because we'd have one, a friend of mine, he's a John Deere, and he'd have 6 outlets, but he was forced into it by John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the John Deere men would all have branches around, whereas New Holland wouldn't. Mm. We'd be all individual dealers.
Yeah.
But again, it works probably in some cases. It works from the John Deere point of view, because they're able to control their area and control their market and everything else. But the downside of it is that the fella that's buying the John Deere doesn't have the competition. He doesn't have somebody.
It's called inline competition.
That's right.
Where he's competing with another John Deere dealer.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the way it is. It's nearly like the farming job, that there's people that's at this job, it's a labor of love as well. You know, you have to really want to do it.
Right.
Because there is people working, you know, for very small margins.
How many people do you have at your store?
27.
How many of those are technicians?
There would be 15 of them.
Mm. It takes that many.
Does, yeah. Well, we would cover a lot of tractors. So we'd sell about 200 tractors every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're adding about 100 tractors, given what's coming out the other end, maybe 100 tractors to our park every year. So, I mean, when the more tractors you have, the more people you have to look after them. And,
right.
You know, so we'd have a big, we'd do a big business in spare parts, and we do a big business in the workshop.
There's a lot of consolidation taking place in the U.S. and Canada.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's interesting that isn't taking place yet here.
Yeah.
Would you be in the market? I mean, if somebody came to you and said, I want to sell out?
If somebody said to me, I want to sell to me.
Yeah.
We would. I mean, yeah, you would. Yeah. It depends on where it would be, of course, and that sort of thing. But you'd have to look at the area and how profitable it is. And
right.
Like, if somebody wants to sell, generally it means they haven't been making money in an area or whatever the case would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, you know, John Deere, it seems to be the trend all across the world for John Deere, where they're one dealer, 5 or 6 branches.
Yep.
Then you're only dealing with the one account. So John Deere, the way I look at it, not less accounts to deal with. And, but then John Deere are very, they lay down the law of what you have to buy and everything else and what you sell. And the trouble with the machinery, and that's probably one of the reasons we don't do machinery, it's very difficult to value a second-hand machine, you know, because the customers just want to buy a new, you know. So when we look at the machinery businesses, you know, we sell a little bit of Pottinger. If somebody comes in to buy a new machine, we sell them a new machine, but we don't take a trade-in.
So you don't take any trade-in?
No. Where the tractor business, we know the tractor business inside out, and we know exactly what a tractor is worth, and there's always a customer there. you know.
But you won't sell balers or
no,
just tractors.
Just tractors.
Combine?
No.
No combine.
No. Well, now for Bituri's stuff, we're not in a tillage area. Just yeah. Here isn't predominantly tillage. You'd have to go back to a tie or somewhere there to get to predominantly tillage end of things, you know.
But you sell some potting gear.
A little bit of potting gear, mowers, and a few feeder wagons, that type of gear.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of that, you know. But that's mainly tractors is our business.
So, so you obviously don't have an issue with used tractors. What do the farmers do with the tractors when they buy a new one?
Well, when we will take it from them. We do their part exchange, and if it's a nice tractor, we bring it into the workshop, we service, and we put it back out in the forecourt for resale. If it's not so nice, then we have people that comes in and buy those tractors from us, and they take them away. And
but you value
you'll get the odd situation where you think you have something that's okay and it's not okay, then you just have to say away with it. Well, I remember back, we'd go back to 2009, and that particular year we had 120 tractors out on hire, and sterling kind of the price of the sterling determines the price of the tractor here. So we bought the tractors at about a 72 cent sterling. Then sterling lost its value, went down to 95 cent. So that meant our tractors was worth 20% less. So I made a conscious decision I was going to sell the tractors. I sold the tractors. I lost about 150,000 that year. A friend of mine was in similar business in the industrial end of things. He said, no, I'm not selling at a loss. And he held on, but he went out of business. We came back the following year, and we were back into new stuff, and we were back on the road again, whereas he had some of the stuff up to 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and just he couldn't carry it. Well, I always say, you can never have a birthday party. If you have a birthday party, you're in trouble. Right. Get rid of it before the birthday.
What about precision technology?
Precision technology is probably, it's in its infancy here, to a certain extent. We do a little bit with it. We have one particular guy that we sold an RTK outfit to. He specializes in growing broccoli. So he's down to very fine measurements when he's sowing. So we set him up, and that works very well. Works very well for him. We would have the ordinary little, say, the fella has for sowing fertilizer, and that in the tractor cab is about 1,100 euros worth. We sell a lot of that stuff, but the big expensive stuff, no. But people are beginning to realize that they need it now, and the advantage in the way you can sell it. I had one particular customer, I sold him a drill, and I was trying to sell him an easy guide system. It was $9,000. And oh no, it's too expensive. So he went and he sowed his corn anyway, and he came back to me 2 months later. He said, I got in my man to spray, he said, and he had the GPS system. And he told me I'd done two circles in my field too much with overlap sowing. And he said, that was in 30 acres. He says, that wasn't near enough of half paid you for the,
right?
You know, so he bought it.
They have to see
yes,
that, though,
yes,
don't they?
Yes.
Because it's hard to tell them that we can save you all these chemicals.
That's right.
And
it's hard to get that through to them, you know.
Yeah.
But I think in your country, then we see here, our biggest field probably here. If somebody said they were in 50 acres, that'd be a big field here.
Mm.
Where in the US, it's thousands of acres.
Right.
You know, so you have to have
they see the return on investment pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
And,
I mean,
so do you see it growing?
It will grow, especially with the tillage men, those men, it will grow. But the ordinary guy then, he's happy enough with his little easy guide, especially his fertilizer, and it's good enough for him, you know.
So easy guide is the auto steer?
The easy guide, no. The easy guide is just, you have a little bar. When you're in the center, you're on the mark. You can set it for one.
A light bar.
Exactly, 10 meters or 20 meters, 30 meters, whatever you're working off. But now, you have a variation of this much. Whereas you're sowing, that's no good.
Right.
You're sowing precision sowing.
Mm-hmm.
So with the precision sowing, you have to be connected into satellite and have an IntelliSteer in the tractor as well.
So if you sell them a tractor, where do they buy their planting and tillage tools?
They would have existing suppliers for that. You know, we'd have sellers that would have been dealing with them. As long as we'd be selling the tractor, they'd have their own people.
But those people wouldn't be selling tractors?
No.
So we don't have a lot of dealers like that.
Okay.
Our dealers are mostly full line dealers.
So yes.
Everything that's needed in their territory.
Yeah, yeah. No, we would be completely different to that.
Yeah.
You'd have some dealers there would be specializing in maybe tillage equipment. Mm-hmm. You'd have other dealers then would specialize in grass equipment and forage equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you'd like the fellows like ourselves are just tractor people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any trouble finding technicians?
We do. I mean, if you wanted a technician, impossible to find. We tend to train ours.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in a couple of young fellas. There probably a young fella starts with us every year.
Mm-hmm.
He should have one falling off at some stage. So mm-hmm. we start them and we train them through the UK, through the Reese Heat. And they're come back good from that. But the only chance you have with a technician is train him.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up then with the product and he knows how it works. You're getting a technician from outside of that. He's in his own ways and he's in his previous employer's ways and doesn't always be the best.
Do they, once you get a technician, do they tend to stay with you for a long time?
They do. Now we have them, some fellas with us 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
My workshop manager, he's with us since he was 17. And then, yeah, we would have lads, you know, but if another fellow will come and go a little bit, but you kind of know he's going to do that anyway.
Right.
You know, but most of the guys we have now, they're very steady. And
mm-hmm.
I know we're blessed that way. We have great people working for us. Mm-hmm. We have four or five people in the store as well. So they're good lads too. You know.
So is wheat the big crop for you? Or what are the other big crops?
Dairy would be probably the biggest end of our business. But then the dairy man, you see, he's not like a tillage man. He doesn't need a lot of tractors.
Right.
He maybe needs a 150 horsepower tractor to sow his fertilizer, and he hires in a contractor then to do the big work.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the dairy man at the moment and the contractor that we'd be
mm-hmm.
kind of concentrating on just at the moment, you know. Mm-hmm. The beef man, few of them that would, we said, the longly established ahead would be doing it, making a bit of money as well, but not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, but the tillage man is really on. He's getting it tough.
What about succession planning? That's a big, big deal in the U.S.
Yeah. It's probably the same here now. You know, well, with in farming and the machinery business, it's to get the person, as I said to you, the farming was a labor of love.
Right.
But some of the young people coming on don't see it that way.
Yeah. They're not in love with it.
They don't love it. And they just like a big week's wages and finished on Friday evening. And so with that, it's creating farms to get bigger, because you'll have the master farmers, and that's where I see agriculture going in Ireland. Maybe a bit like America, where you'll have super dairy outfits, super tillage outfits, super beef outfits. That's the way it's going to go when this older generation die away.
Well, the small dairyman has a hard life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the kids say that.
Not at all. They're not going to work 7 days a week for a fiver an hour.
Or, yeah, on your birthday and Christmas, because those cows don't care.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
When you're ready to retire,
yes.
You have someone.
And my son, yeah. My son, yeah. He's here today now. So we sell boats as well. We have a marine business, and he manages that at the moment. And he sells a little bit of tractors out of there as well, but it's his own business. And he's getting on okay at that. But, you know, I wouldn't be the sort of a fella that kind of has to be my way, and sometimes his way seems different. So I would be even. I would be seeing it this, you know, while I stay going for a few more years, and then I just say, right, take it on, that's yours. New Holland, that will be very eager about succession as well. But once you know you have somebody coming along, and, you know, they're happy to run with that. That isn't a problem here.
Generally speaking, do you think that agriculture in Ireland has a good future? What do you see?
Well, agriculture in Ireland, I suppose, is probably at a bit of a crossroads now. For that reason, that the older man is beginning to disappear and the younger fella is maybe is interested. And I think the future will be for farms to get bigger, outfits to get bigger, and be run more as a business, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas at the moment it's not been run as a business. You know, I think that's where agriculture is going to go.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what happened in the U.S. It's forcing it into being a big business.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
but you know, like, what business do you know of? Well, buy cattle, not knowing what they're going to get when they're going to sell it. Sow corn, not knowing what they're going to get when to cut it. Milk cows, not knowing what they're going to get for milk. Like, there is no other business in the world will work under those circumstances.
And people generally don't understand those risks.
No.
They don't understand
No.
They don't appreciate it.
No. So, I mean, if farming's been run as a business, it'll be a completely different outfit. No doubt about it. Well, you take the farm, if you were to buy a farm in Ireland now, good agriculture land is making 10,000 an acre. Well, that puzzles me as well, because I see guys, and they go out to buy cattle this year to sell them next March at maybe what they paid for them after feeding them. They'll go back and do the same thing the following year. And how they're able to get money to pay everybody and have a living for themselves beats me. You know, it's it is magic. There's no doubt about it. It's a bit of magic. There's no doubt.
What else is taking place here in Ireland that you think would be interesting to our readers in North America?
Well, you see, I suppose you've two different countries completely. I mean, Ireland's such a small little country, it's such small holdings. You know, the average holding in Ireland is around 120 acres. You know, whereas, and that has increased. I mean, that was 50 at one stage. So that gives you an idea of the trend, what's happening. But, you know, it's a completely different situation where you have a guy in America, in your end of the world, that he's farming maybe 5,000 hectares or acres, whereas here the most would be, well, some people will rent land and maybe farm 1,000 acres. Mm-hmm. But the majority of owned land would be maybe, the most would be 300 or 400 acres. That would be the most. But those people are probably okay, because we have single farm payment, you know, they're from Brussels, from the EU. And these guys would have good allowances built up. So they get a bit of money from that every year. So I think only for that, you can forget about farming. When I started farming, or I started in this business, when we weren't, we had no subsidies that time. And like, farmers were better off, a lot better off.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, the fella could, that time he could go out and buy a tractor and he'd have it paid for, and he could maybe pay for the tractor. Mm-hmm. Not such thing now, it's all finance.
Yeah.
You know, you have to work out your repayments per 6 months or whatever it would be, and you know.
So what about financing? How do you work finance?
We have finance companies.
Right.
They do the finance for the farmer.
Most of our dealers were financed, a lot of them, through Deere Capital,
yes.
CNH.
Yes. We'd have the same thing, but it'd be through maybe De Lag and Langan or Allied Irish Bank or some of them, but we'd organize the finance, but it'd be through a...
What about floor plan?
No.
We would finance is that?
Floor plan, we don't have that.
Okay, that's the equipment you buy for your lot.
Yes.
So that's what we call floor plan?
Yeah. No, we wouldn't have any of that.
So
no.
When you order 25 tractors from New Holland,
yes.
You have to pay for it.
I get so many, a certain length of time to pay for them, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get a volume discount?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, sure, you have to. You have to.
So, anything else that I don't want to take all of your time?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered everything fairly well. You know, as I said to you, probably the only difference again is the peat production in Ireland. Like, peat would be a big end of the Midlands. There'd be thousands and thousands and thousands of acres covered with bogland, so which is harvested. And
how's that harvested?
It's harvested in. Actually, Borden & Mona is the company that do it, and they have the biggest fleet of tractors in the world, of 1,200 tractors. So they go along the top of the bog and they have a little thing that's like a little tiller, tills it up, and then they dry that much of the peat. When it's dry, then they pull it into a little row and it's put into a stockpile, and they start again and keep piling. They end up with a great big pile of peat. And then when that's there, they come in to put down a railway track along beside it. So the wagons come in and there's a big digger put up on top and it fills it into the wagons. And that brings it in then to the power stations where they burn it for to make electricity. So that's there this maybe 70, 80 years now. You know, and it's probably a unique thing that we have. That, you know.
And you do a lot of tractors with them?
We do. We do a lot of tractors. We supply them with hauler tractors.
Do they get it out?
You know, yes, tendered out, yeah. But we've been there now since 1995.
Okay.
And we supply them with all their spare parts as well. So that's a big part of our business too, you know.
Well, I want to thank you.
Thank you. No problem.
I find it interesting
yeah.
to to compare notes. With
yes.
What's happening
yes. Yes.
In other countries.
Yeah. Yeah. And likely so. You know, like you've told me things now that I didn't know today. So yeah, thank you very much.